In Washington, the fight over subpoenas for information from the Trump administration intensified today. This morning, the White House moved to prevent the release of Robert Mueller's full unredacted report on Russia by invoking executive privilege, just minutes after the House Judiciary Committee began debating a motion to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt for refusing to release that report. Judiciary Committee member Louisiana Republican Mike Johnson objected to the Democrats' contempt motion.
Our Democrat colleagues have weaponized our critical oversight responsibilities. And moving today to hold the AG in contempt is not only premature, unprecedented, and unwarranted. Frankly, it is shameful.
But Democrats are also demanding the president's tax returns. And President Trump is calling a big New York Times story today about his taxes a highly inaccurate hit job. The report claims that citizen Trump didn't pay taxes for years in the 1980s and 90s because he lost more money than nearly every other taxpayer in America, over $1 billion. Let's bring in our political strategist, Jamal Simmons, the Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. And Matt Mikowiak, the Republican. Hi, Matt.
Hey there.
And I want to start with you. It is becoming clear that the White House strategy is to refuse all congressional requests for documents and testimony from witnesses who spoke with Mueller. There's former White House counsel Don McGahn, possibly Mueller himself. Here's House Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler this morning on CNN.
You cannot have a government in which the president can conceal all information about his own wrongdoing and about anything else. He wants to make himself a king, and Congress cannot permit that.
Matt, is President Trump acting above the law? What would you advise as a strategist right now?
Well, these kinds of battles between an executive branch of one party and one house of Congress led by the other party are not unusual. These kinds of battles were in evidence during the Clinton years once Republicans had some control. So, look, I think that this is going to, you know, be worked out by the courts over time. You know, there may be a motivation here to try to run out the clock a little bit on the White House's part. On the other hand, I think they're very interested in moving beyond the Mueller report at this point as well. They feel like the facts are out there, the details are out there, the charges weren't brought forward against the president, and they want to get to the bigger issues facing the country. So I understand why they're fighting as hard as they are. I think things like the tax returns are ridiculous. There's no necessity for Congress to view the president's tax returns. There's no legislative purpose for that. Mm-hmm. On some of this other stuff, the courts are going to have to step in, and it's going to take some time. And we'll see kind of where the line is between the two branches.
Well, but there is a law from 1924 that says if Congress asks for tax returns, they shall be delivered. Jamal, your thoughts on what Matt just said?
Well, I think what's really happening here is that the president of the United States has decided that he does not have to answer to anyone. And I guess after owning a company that he did not have a board of directors or any sort of outside advisors that had to be answered to, he has continued to operate in the same vein. The reality here is I think that Bill Barr is perhaps obstructing justice because if in the Mueller report, it is very clear that they are saying that Congress is the area, is the court of jurisdiction on the president's behavior. And what Bill Barr did when he went before Congress and misrepresented Mueller's findings, misrepresented whether or not he knew Mueller and his team were unhappy with the summary, that could be construed as obstruction of justice. Mm-hmm. And so the court of jurisdiction, the Congress, has a right to hold him in contempt for not being a straight shooter. And he is supposed to be representing the people of the United States and not the president.
Matt, I want you to weigh in on something that House mm-hmm. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said yesterday. She accused President Trump of trying to goad Democrats into impeaching him because he knows it could backfire. Let's listen to that.
Every single day, he's just like taunting, because he knows that it would be very divisive in the country, but he doesn't really care. Just wants to solidify his base. So we can't impeach him for political reasons, and we can't not impeach him for political reasons.
Matt, do you agree? Is the president being strategic here?
Well, I think, you know, we know that he likes having an opponent. We know he likes punching back. And I think to a great extent, part of the challenge he faced in the first year and a half of his presidency is that he didn't have a high-profile opponent with Democrats in the minority. That's obviously changing now with Speaker Pelosi in office and with Democrats, whatever it is, 2021 Democrats running for president. He's got a lot of opponents now that he can engage with. I tend to agree with Speaker Pelosi in the sense that I think that that the Democrats do face a very difficult political decision. She has said that she would not move forward with impeachment unless there were bipartisan support for it. We'll see if she can stick to that standard. I don't think her base and her progressive members in her caucus are likely to take that. So I did think there was a really important moment today earlier in the House Judiciary Committee when they were considering the contempt citation. Congressman Hank Johnson, a Democrat of Georgia who rarely does anything of consequence from my view, said, "How can we impeach without getting the documents?" As if to say, the goal here is impeachment, and so we're going to do everything we can to make that happen.
The goal here – I'm sorry to interrupt. The goal here is to hold the president accountable and to have oversight over the administration. And how can you do that if you don't have the data?
And remember, impeachment is just a consideration. You know, and what do you think of that, Matt? Because they are, you know, there is talk about how just even starting the impeachment process, which is just a consideration of impeachment, would have to move, you know, to the Senate for an actual trial.
Yeah.
But this would give them more teeth, and they could potentially get more of these documents.
Well, I mean, you know, the point that I think Congressman Johnson was making about getting the documents, I mean, they have the documents. Congress has a version that's even less redacted than the version that was released to the public. It's 98.5% unredacted. And the portion on obstruction, which they seem to be most interested in, is 99% unredacted. Mm-hmm. And not one Democratic member of Congress has viewed that less redacted version. So this is circus. It's theater. And I do think it's more than anything else, it's about trying to undermine Attorney General Barr as he investigates the origins of the counterintelligence investigation and the FISA warrant process. I think that's what this is about. It's about trying to undermine him. And I also think it's about impeachment. I mean, if they want to go forward with impeachment, they can.
Right. Jamal, you say it's a process. It's about oversight. But do you think Democrats – because to me it just seems like day by day they get closer and closer and closer to pulling that proverbial trigger. Do you think that they can ultimately resist?
Matt called it a circus, and what the circus is are the clowns in the Republican Party who refuse to hold the president accountable on the fact that perhaps he is not a part, which we should celebrate, was not a part of a criminal conspiracy with the Russians, but he is perhaps a liability and a risk in a counterintelligence sense, and the government, the Congress is trying to hold him accountable and see. If you read the Mueller report, if you look at it, it lays out instance after instance where the president may in fact be vulnerable to some influence of foreign government. The president was willing to accept help from a foreign government. And let me tell you, the Urban League did what people ought to do. The Urban League this week put out a report and said that Russians tried to manipulate African Americans. They're mad about it. They pointed it out. They want to push back. The Russians also tried to manipulate the Republican Senate. The Russians went into voting machines in Florida. Why isn't the senator from Florida, Rick Scott, standing up, having a vigil in front of the White House until the president of the United States does something to protect our voting systems going into 2020? That is the circus that the Republicans are not willing to hold the president accountable for his behavior when it comes to dealing with this national security threat.
Well, Jamal and Matt, I want to move to the Trump request for Trump tax returns and this new article today in The New York Times claiming to have information legally obtained about tax figures from then citizen Trump between 1985 and 95. It showed that he lost more than $1 billion in the 80s and 90s. And you wonder why the push to get his tax returns. And some are saying it's because to see what in the last 6 years his finances were because of what we know about his finances in the past. Let's listen to a House Judiciary Committee hearing this morning, a Tennessee Democrat, Steve Cohen.
Why would he be financially dependent on the Russians? Well, we now know he lost over $1 billion in a decade in the 80s and 90s. He was broke. No bank would loan him a penny. He was broke.
So Matt Mikowiak, people are saying this is what we want to see. We want to see if he needed money from the Russians. Why won't President Trump release his tax returns?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been on record going back to, I don't know, 2015, saying I think you should release them. I just really have a problem with the idea that government can compel the release of one person's tax returns, particularly if there's not a legislative purpose.
It's not just one person. It's the president of the United States, the most powerful person.
And obviously, you are not familiar with your eighth grade history and the Teapot Dome scandal of 1924, because that's where the law comes from, that anyone can be compelled, and that's why.
Well, I mean, yes, but it has to be for a legitimate legislative purpose, and I think that's the argument here. I don't think anyone's surprised that he lost money in the 80s and 90s. I mean, I think his career has been up and down and up and down, and I think that's not a huge surprise. I am curious. You know, the story does say that these aren't even tax returns. They're transcripts.
Figures.
Of IRS details. The fact that it says it was legally obtained, I mean, that would either mean a lawyer or someone from the government – possessed them and provided them to the New York Times. I have real curiosity about how that could be legal. But look, this fight's going forward. Clearly, the Treasury Secretary has resisted it so far. Again, a lot of this is going to end up being determined in the courts, and that's going to take some time.
Jamal, you got 15 seconds.
Well, I think that Democrats have to be careful here that the president's tax returns don't become sort of a white whale that they're pursuing just because they want to see them. We need to know what the president is doing to protect the country. I think Americans are pretty clear that his business was pretty scurvy before he got elected.
Jamal Simmons. Scurvy rarely makes its way in, but thank you. Jamal Simmons, our Democratic strategist. Matt Mikowiak, the Republican. We thank you both, as always.
Thank you.